I'm not in the business of giving advice, but I'm going to deviate from that norm this evening because I have a bit of advice which I think might be valuable to a lot of people out there. And the advice is this. Either don't go to a basketball game with an intellectual, or if you do, just be on your guard. I went to a basketball game with an intellectual the other evening. What's all that noise in there? What's all that noise? There's noise in here. Listen to all that. That's better.
What?
There's noise in here.
Where?
It's coming over from in there.
Where?
The noise.
There?
Right.
I'm telling him to be quiet.
Tell him to be quiet.
Hey, shut up.
It worked. Okay, it worked. So I'm at a basketball game with this intellectual. And he says to me, hey, Lou, listen, you're really into basketball, right? And I said, well, yes, sort of. You used to coach basketball. I said, yes, sort of. What? He says, what do you say at the basketball game? All right, so I gave him a couple little things to say. I said, listen, when the big guy, that guy, number 53, yeah, right, him, yeah, with the things around his wrist, Dawkins, his name is, when he gets the ball down by the basket, you yell out, take him to the hoop! You know, take him to the hoop, right? He says, oh, hey, man, that sounds good, right? Great. I said, right, okay, now, the other thing. When one of the other guys shoots the ball, and the big guy, our big guy, wants to get it, you know, if it doesn't go through the hoop, now, and the other guy gets it instead, in other words, he gets the rebound, you're supposed to yell out, box him out, you stiff! So there we are in the Meadowlands Arena. It's very quiet. You know, it's before the game. You know, nothing much is happening. And Darryl Dawkins is kind of hanging out under the basket. The Nets are having their warm-up. And he gets the ball. You know, just sort of gets the ball and is ambling around. You guessed it. My friend leaps to his feet and yells. I mean, there's only five people there in the stands. He yells out, take him to the hoop! I said, wait a minute, not yet. He says, box out, you stiff! I said, not yet, the game hasn't begun yet. Take him to the hoop, you bum! Boo, 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 boo! Oh, by the way, there is a denouement. I gave him a hot dog and he kept quiet for the rest of the game. Bob Seger over the big FMU in East Orange, 91.1. Nah, that's not the way it's done. This is the Hour of the Duck, and welcome. And this is Bob Seger.
Took a look down a westbound road. Right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler. I was tired of my own voice. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. I was out of Mackinac City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl, we had a few drinks, and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing. I knew what she was thinking. Said a word, we just walked out and got on that bank. And we rolled. And we rolled clean out of sight.
just alone on a mountaintop, staring out at the great divide. I could go east, I could go west, it was all up to me to decide. Just then I saw a young hawk flying and my soul began to rise. And pretty soon
take a chance, forget the competition.
music of Franz Liszt, performed by the Russian pianist Lazar Berman. That was called Mazeppa, and it's a tone poem for piano, probably one of the first pieces of programmatic music. At least my reading indicates such. And after a poem by Victor Hugo about a Polish nobleman by the name of Mazeppa, who is condemned to death for unmentionable crimes, and his death was to be tied to the back of a wild stallion, which was then whipped into a fury and set free. And then the stallion drags the guy all the way across whatever, I guess Poland, into Russia and into the Ukraine, and he doesn't die. He lives, and he becomes a Cossack chieftain. Fantastic stuff. And Lazar Berman ain't bad on piano. That was a Melodia recording released by CBS, Columbia, and should have a number on here somewhere. M233923. M233923. Lazar Berman. We're going to play another cut from that a little later. But before we played that, we heard from Black Flag, Chris Moffa and the Competition, Ellen Foley, and we began with Bob Seger. And it says here that the Bloomfield College Women's Committee will sponsor a week-long art exhibit in celebration of Women's Week. Creative works of 17 women artists from the Essex County area will be on display in the College Center at 198 Liberty Street in Bloomfield from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. from March 7th through the 11th. Exhibit is free and open to the public. That's you. At the conclusion of the show, all works of art will be available for purchase. It doesn't say whether you can pay by check. So you're going to have to bring cash, I suppose. Did I say this was the Hour of the Duck? Sure I did. And these are the pinups. Remember me.
to you, my sweet young friends. Have you got money perhaps you could lend? I wash my leather face in the afternoon sun. My shirt's torn, my time's near done. Touching the untouchables, but they don't know. Respect the disrespectables, but in the end, you know. Telephone booth. I make sure I leave the phone off the hook. There are no Joneses and I pay no rent. I gotta stand straight cause my back's so bent. Tell my secretary I ain't taking any calls. And if you wanna find me, just ask the phone.
Screws on the dance floor. Come on. your hands and dance your dance. Shake that precious groove, thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that precious groove, thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that precious groove, thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that precious groove, thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that precious groove, thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that precious groove, thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that precious groove, thing.
If you don't like
That was the Trio Improvisazione. I guess that's correct. Improvisazione. And that was entitled Birth and Action. And before that, we heard from Duran Duran, Heaven 17, The Culture Club, Men at Work, and the Pinups. And this is WFMU East Orange 91.1 FM stereo. This is the Hour of the Duck. And most of the first hour was programmed by my friends. Well, there, we got everything all together now. There, everything's all organized. All this stuff here belongs on the floor over here. And that belongs there. And somebody handed this to me as I walked in. I said, Lou, you would enjoy this. And so would your listeners. And so, Peter Penguin was lonely. He didn't like living by himself, not one little bit. Back home on the cold, snowy lands of the Antarctic near the South Pole, he had lots of friends. But here at the zoo, he was in a cage all by himself.
If only I hadn't been so curious, said Peter Penguin sadly. If only I hadn't tried to find out what those men were doing. They would never have caught me.
The keepers of the zoo knew that Peter Penguin was unhappy, and they tried their best to cheer him. They kept his cage as cold as the South Pole. They made a white plaster cave that looked just like ice and snow. They built a swimming pool for him. They even put in a chute de chutes so he could slide right into the water. And every day they gave him some fresh fish to eat. But Peter Penguin wouldn't eat the fish. He wouldn't slide down the chute de chutes. He just sat outside his little cave house and thought how lonely he was.
What shall we do? Said the zookeepers. If he doesn't eat, he'll die. And then we won't have no penguin for the children to look at. The children won't like that.
So the zookeeper put up a sign.
Reward! Free pass to the zoo and $5 to the little boy or girl who finds out how to make Peter Penguin happy.
The children thought that that was a wonderful contest. They crowded around Peter Penguin's cage and tried to cheer him.
Maybe he likes music,
suggested one little girl. And she sang,
Polly Wolly Doodle, Polly Waddle Doodle all day.
But Peter Penguin didn't even look up.
Maybe he likes funny faces, said a boy.
So he rolled his eyes and wiggled his ears and grinned and winked. Peter Penguin watched him curiously, but he didn't look a bit happier.
Watch me dance,
called a little girl, and she jumped about as lively as a cricket while the boys whistled Yankee Doodle. Peter Penguin waddled down to the glass front of his cage and peered out. For a minute he thought he saw another penguin, but it was only a white handkerchief that the little girl was waving as she danced. Peter Penguin slumped over against the glass and looked sadder than ever.
You, Peter,
said the little girl, stopping her dance.
Give me a ride on your lip.
That's what her mother said to her when she pouted. Then she took a big square mirror out of her pocketbook.
You, Peter,
she said again.
Just look at yourself. Shame on you looking so sad.
And he held the mirror right up against the little glass cage so Peter could see himself. Well, Peter perked right up. He didn't know about mirrors. He thought he was seeing another penguin. He pecked at the glass as if he were trying to stroke the new penguin's feathers. He even did a little dance. Then he began showing off. He slid down the chute de chutes. He splashed in the pool. He tossed a piece of fish into the air and caught it in his beak. Every few minutes he kept coming over to the mirror to see if his new friend was admiring him. The children shrieked and clapped their hands for joy.
I did it! I did it!
Cheered the little girl.
I cheered him up, and I did it with my own little mirror.
The zookeeper came running. They gave the little girl a free pass to the zoo and a crisp green $5 bill. And they ordered the zoo carpenters to put mirrors all around the walls of Peter's cage right away. Peter was so happy he couldn't sit still. He went from one mirror to another, talking to his new friends and telling them how glad he was to see them.
Say, said the zookeeper, we better buy some more penguins quick. We'll have them shipped by plane so they'll get here before Peter discovers his mirror friends aren't real.
So they did. And now Peter has three real live penguin playmates. And they're all as happy as penguins can be.
sweet heaven, when I die. Let her go, let her go, God bless her, though she roams over the land and sea. My will, she may search this wide world all over and never find a friend true as me. Try it again.
Judy Carmichael with a couple of tunes associated with and written by Fats Waller. The first one along with Andy Razaf and Harry Brooks, Ain't Misbehavin'. And the second one, a showcase for her stride piano style, Fats Waller's Handful of Keys. Marshall Royal was on alto on the first one. Freddie Green guitar, Red Calendar bass, Harold Jones drums. And again, she's at Hanratty's. And nobody told me to say that. It's just a good place to hear some good music, and she's a fine piano player. they have a policy of presenting piano players in that style. Dick Wellstood and Ralph Sutton are the two other really good ones that I've seen. Ralph Sutton is just, well, you've got to see him. He's not to be believed. He has some recordings on some minor labels, unfortunately, just minor labels, so you don't hear an awful lot of him on the radio. But pick him up sometime, and he is he's delightful. Next is Oscar Peterson, and in this recording, for some reason, They began in the middle of a chorus, so it's kind of an awkward beginning, but it is Oscar Peterson with a Duke Ellington medley.
Thank you. Thank you. do 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 do